Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Doctor is in the house. Dr. Ben Singer is with us today, critical care specialist at Northwestern Medicine. Thanks, Dr. Singer, for making time for us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You know, it's you're a critical care specialist, and I just, from the front lines, what can you tell us about what you're seeing right now? How are things looking?
Yeah, like many places in the country, we are continuing to see increasing numbers of really sick patients coming into our ICU, mostly from the Delta variant. And unfortunately, it's almost entirely people who have not received the vaccine.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's not a time when you can have that conversation about why you didn't, but do you know anything just anecdotally about why they didn't?
Yeah, most people are still kind of waiting to see, or they just haven't gotten it yet. I think that there's so many opportunities now to get the vaccine. It's completely free. It's completely available almost anywhere you look. The best time to get vaccinated was a few months ago, and the second best time is now.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say a few months ago?
When it was, even before the Delta variant started circulating, you know, every patient that we see that came in, if they had been vaccinated a few months ago, it's very unlikely that we would have to meet them in the ICU.
Yeah, I hear you. 815 is already asking for the doctor. From what I understand, adverse effects from vaccines will show up within 2 to 4 weeks after being administered and will not show up months or years later. Other words, no concerns of long-term adverse effects from the vaccine. Is that correct, doctor?
Yeah, most effects actually show up fairly soon after getting the vaccine. So I think this is what most of us would think about as the immediate reactions of having some pain at the site where the vaccine was, having maybe a low-grade fever, being fatigued, being tired for a day. Those are the things that come on fairly quickly. There are some things that can show up a bit later, but those are very uncommon. And in the whole history of vaccines, it's very uncommon to see vaccine side effects show up months later. In fact, that's why the FDA wanted to see safety data out for that period of time, because we know that if a side effect is going to show up, it would show up within a few months.
I don't know if you saw this, something that a lot of people are sharing today. It involves the death of a Springfield woman, an Illinois woman named Candace K. Ayers, and her obituary is being shared because her family, at the very top of her obituary, printed in the paper and posted where these things are, says, Candace K. Ayers, 66, of Springfield, passed away on September 3rd, 2021 at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. She was preceded in death by more than 4,531,799 others infected with COVID-19. She was vaccinated, but was infected by others who chose not to be. The cost was her life. And then they go on to explain more about the life she lived. I wonder if you can share with us any data you know about infection rates from a vaccinated person versus an unvaccinated person, what that actually means for the community.
Yeah, so it is much less likely for vaccinated people to unfortunately get to the point where the person you mentioned in the obituary got to, where they needed to be on life support and unfortunately die from the illness. That's very uncommon, exceptionally rare among people who have gotten the vaccine. But vaccines, remember, don't just protect you, that it's a community effort. In order for us to be able to protect the most vulnerable people in the community, including young children who can't yet get the vaccine, or people who have received the vaccine but may not have responded well to it because their bodies can't make antibodies due to being immunocompromised, taking certain medications, a whole number of things, we need to have as many people around them vaccinated in order to decrease the likelihood of spreading the infection.
What are some of those medications? Do you have like a short list or the top few?
Sure. So certainly people who are receiving chemotherapy for cancer, that's certainly a class of medications that will harm the immune system. And then people with autoimmune diseases often will be taking medications that decrease the ability of the immune system to other responses to the vaccine. And there's a whole list of those, but a lot of them are medications that people take for common things like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or any number of other inflammatory conditions.
Yeah, I hear you. Super concerning for anyone with a family member in that situation right now. Hey, 727 says, please ask the doctor if he can address natural immunity versus the vaccine, especially since the Delta virus is certainly different than the original virus. Can you speak to that, doctor?
Yeah, so natural immunity refers to when someone has had COVID, and vaccine immunity is, of course, immunity that's given by virtue of having gotten the shot. So it turns out that the shot is better than the natural immunity. The shot provides a higher level of immunity. It seems to last quite a bit longer than having a natural infection. And so even for people who have natural immunity, we still recommend that they go ahead and get the vaccine. And that generates a kind of immunity called hybrid immunity. And so, again, that's when somebody has had COVID-19 and subsequently gets the COVID-19 vaccine. And the immunity that those people get is really considered almost superhuman. It's really off the charts and is probably really, really great protection against future infection.
Can we go off COVID just for a second? We can come back to it, but I got a question for you from 773, doctor. Question for the doctor. I have shingles. I'm a 49-year-old woman. I wanted to find out if I can get the shingles vaccine. Can I still get shingles again? If I get the shingles vaccine, can I still get shingles again?
It's a good question. It's much less likely. It is still possible, but it's pretty uncommon.
And shingles can be horrible. My husband suffered a really, really bad case of that in his head and his eye. And 2.5 years later, 3 years, he's still dealing with that. What is it? Post-herpetic neuropathy.
Yeah, that's right. So the shingles vaccine, when people become eligible for it as they get older, is absolutely something to get.
Let's see. My brother died from COVID and had his first vaccine and was due to get his second the week he died. We made sure to put it in his obituary that he died from COVID as well. I mean, that's the thing. There's this rush, maybe the Delta variant or whatever it is that's pushing people now. We are seeing a rate of increase, I think, in people getting the vaccine. Is that right, doctor?
Yeah, that's right. So across the United States and locally, we're seeing every day people continue to get vaccinated, and the number of people that are getting vaccinated day over day is increasing. That's right.
Dr. Singer, what can you tell us about boosters? We've got a ton of questions on the text line. There's a lot out there every day, it seems, on boosters. What hits you as being most important to relay to our listeners?
Yeah, so the first thing is just to get the vaccine at all, right? I mean, the third shot is still in many ways an open question for most people, but getting the first shot is the most important one. But on the topic of boosters, I think it's really clear that people who are immunocompromised, and we talked about some of the conditions earlier, people who are on chemotherapy, taking medications for an inflammatory condition, or they've had an organ transplant and need to take medications, a whole number of reasons that they might be immunocompromised, that's a population that it's pretty clear benefits from getting a third dose, from getting a booster.
Okay.
And we're getting data, even more data just this week, that older adults, so people over age 60 or so, also may benefit from a third shot, although we are still sorting through those data. Most of it's from other countries, and we really want to see what that looks like in the United States. And then for everyone else that is eligible for the shot to begin with, so people over the age of 12, we're still sorting through the data to try to understand who's going to benefit the most from a booster as time goes on.
Dr. Singer, can you take the flu vaccine and the shingles vaccine and the COVID vaccine at the same time, or do you suggest spacing all that out?
Yes, you can. So there's no reason to wait. The most recent recommendations from the regulatory bodies, the FDA and the CDC, say you can get all the vaccines at the same time. Mm-hmm. So no reason to make multiple trips to get your flu shot and your COVID shot.
I always say my husband was the ambassador of the shingles vaccine for several years before there were ambassadors for vaccines because of his terrible case. He personally, I think, got 50 friends to get the shingles vaccine because of...
Wonderful.
how bad, you know, even that can be. And he always says, I can speak personally, though I haven't had COVID, I can speak personally about what a virus can do to you. Here he is 3 years later, still dealing with it. Speaking of that, what about long-haul symptoms? Anything you can tell us about that, doctor?
Yeah, so this is the thing that we call long COVID, or people who survive COVID, usually after a severe illness, but it can actually be after a mild illness, that they'll have persistent symptoms that can last for weeks to months on end. And this can be a lot of different things, ranging from fatigue to problems thinking, what people call like a brain fog with trouble concentrating, or even more limiting things like shortness of breath, pains and aches, and these things can last quite a while. It does seem that people who get a breakthrough infection, meaning that they get COVID after receiving the vaccine, are less likely to have long-term symptoms like long COVID. Mm-hmm. How much less is still up in the air, but the vaccine does seem to protect against long COVID to some extent also.
There's this story out that I want to ask you about, and I'd like to have this. I don't think I do. Researchers say some people have developed superhuman immunity against COVID-19. Have you heard about these people who apparently can defy this?
Yeah, well, there are a few different things that I think people talk about when they say superhuman immunity. One is what we were talking about a few minutes ago, which is hybrid immunity, where someone has COVID and then goes on and gets the vaccine. That provides really, really high-level immunity against future infection. But there have also been people who have generated these really super antibodies that are a different type of antibody that really protect against all known variants at a really high level. Some of these are people who actually were survivors of the original SARS that came around in the early part of the millennium, if you remember, and then went on to get the COVID vaccine, they generated a really superhuman response as well.
Dr. Singer, I know you're super busy as a critical care specialist. Can we take one phone call, then we'll let you go? Do you have time for that?
Yes, I do. Sure thing.
All right, Mary is on. You're on WGN. Your question for Dr. Singer. Go ahead, Mary.
My husband has shingles. Can he get the booster shot for COVID now while he's sick?
Yeah, hi, Mary. Thanks for the question. I think that in that specific case, it's worth a call to your doctor to see what they think. But in general, I think as soon as he starts feeling a bit better, he should go ahead and get it. Yeah.
Thank you.
That answers the question. I hope, Mary, thank you for the call. And Dr. Ben Singer, thank you for the time today. Sincerely appreciate you taking all the questions and keeping us informed on everything.
My pleasure. Stay well.
You too. Dr. Ben Singer is critical care specialist at Northwestern Medicine.